Opponents of a transportation funding package passed by Oregon lawmakers last month say Governor Tina Kotek is delaying their efforts to refer it to voters. State Representative Ed Deal is one of a handful of Republicans hoping to collect signatures to send new taxes to the ballot. Under state law, Deal and his allies have until December 30th to collect roughly 78,000 signatures. But they can't begin until Kotek signs the bill. She has until November 12th to do so.
It's going to be a mad dash, but I'm taking it as a challenge.
Kotek said this week she was in no hurry to sign the bill, which includes a 6-cent gas tax increase. She has urged Oregonians not to sign a referendum petition. The Oregon Employment Department did not release its typical monthly unemployment report this month. The reason? A lack of federal data. KLCC's Zach Ziegler explains.
State officials rely on data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics to calculate monthly estimates of available jobs and available workers. Since BLS staff are on furlough due to the federal shutdown, the information the state relies on is unavailable. Oregon did publish an analysis of already released data that uses unemployment insurance records to estimate employment. In a video release, state employment economist Gail Krumenauer said it showed a total loss of nearly 4,000 jobs from the same time last year.
The private sector lost 11,100 jobs over the year, which was a decline of almost 1%. Government did add jobs, 7,300, and 3/4 of those gains were actually in local government.
She added that the state will continue to publish what it has on its normal schedule. I'm Zach Ziegler reporting.
New research finds chemicals like pesticides linger at illegal cannabis sites long after the growing stops. Jefferson Public Radio's Justin Higginbottom reports that could have environmental impacts in California and Oregon.
Researchers tested three so-called trespass grows on national forest land in Northern California. They found that potentially harmful chemicals remained in the topsoil of those areas for months and even years after the grows were shut down. Murad Gabriel with the Integral Ecology Research Center says the findings are a first step at studying the negative effects of these contaminants.
We know now the soil is contaminated with not just targeted pesticides, but all these non-target plasticizers, pharmaceuticals. So now we can start springboarding into those potential ecological or human health impacts.
The paper, which appeared in the journal Science of the Total Environment, notes there are thousands of illegal grow sites in California alone. I'm Justin Higginbottom in Ashland.
A school board candidate faced a question over her citizenship at a recent forum on Washington's Long Beach Peninsula. An attendee, citing a claim made last month by a local conservative activist, attempted to ask Caroline Perez whether she was a U.S. citizen. The Ocean Park Village Club was hosting the forum, and co-chair Bonnie Cosby quickly shut down the question. Cosby said the Village Club's position was that all candidates participating in the forums had been accepted as eligible candidates by both state and county election officials. Cosby said later that she had been tipped off ahead of time that such a question might be asked during the forum. Perez graduated from Ilwaco High School in 2006 and is a registered voter. She's the only incumbent seeking re-election to the Ocean Beach School District Board this year. She is also currently the only board member with children attending the school district, and says she understands the issues the school district faces from the perspective of a parent. She was appointed to her current seat representing Ocean Park on the northern end of the Long Beach Peninsula in early 2024. Rumors about Perez's citizenship status originated from Diane Gruber, a leader of Peninsula Patriots, the local chapter of the far-right John Birch Society. In a September 17th blog post, Gruber speculated, without providing evidence, that Perez is not a U.S. citizen and thus not eligible to hold elected office. At the forum, the attendee who tried to ask Perez about her citizenship status was part of a group of attendees who said They wanted to question Perez not because they believed Gruber's claims, but because they were concerned the rumor was circulating in the community. They feared it was an attempt to muddy the waters before ballots were due to arrive in mailboxes. Six candidates are vying for seats on the Ocean Beach School District Board. All of them support the construction of a new campus for grades 6 through 12. Joan Porter, who is challenging Perez, expressed concern over any potential gap in funding that locals might be asked to cover, but she acknowledged the state would fund the bulk of the costs. Porter moved to the peninsula in 2016 following her retirement. She was previously involved with a committee that supported a 2024 levy proposal by the school district for a new building, and has also been involved with the Ocean Beach Health Foundation. As she sees it, the board's role is to, quote, hold feet to the fire when it comes to academic improvement. Marianne Murray is running for the seat covering the Ilwaco and Chinook areas. She's a psychiatric and mental health clinician and has served on several local boards and organizations, including the School Medical Autism Review Team. She says her goals for the school district are fairness, safety, and success for both students and staff. She also said the district can't look away from the need to ensure student safety in the event of a Cascadia subduction zone earthquake and tsunami. Faith Forrester is running for the same seat as Murray. She currently works as the Student Access Services Coordinator at Clatsop Community College in Astoria, and was previously a disability coordinator at Tongue Point Job Corps Center, also in Astoria. She says she brings deep understanding of the many perspectives school board members should represent. Eric Swenson is running for the seat representing the Long Beach and Seaview areas. He owns and operates North Jetty Brewing with his wife. He said he was a troubled child before he got involved in band and music at school, though it was not ultimately the career path he chose. He believes students should be afforded multiple pathways to professional success, saying college is not for everyone. He says he would push for funding for vocational opportunities while on the board. Swenson will face Samantha Hernandez Ortega. She graduated from Ilwaco High School in 2012 and received her associate's degree from Clatsop Community College. She currently has a child attending kindergarten at Long Beach Elementary and owns and operates Wild Roots Salon in Seaview. Hernandez-Ortega feels there's a disconnect between the Ocean Beach School District and the community, and that she could help create a bridge between the two. She expressed support for extra programs that help kids feel excited about school. These stories come to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Online at chinookobserver.com. Starting in January, students in the Astoria School District won't be able to use their cell phones from the time the first bell of the day rings until the last one. That's according to a new policy the school district board just passed. The policy follows an executive order from Oregon Governor Tina Kotek, which required Oregon school districts to formally adopt the new policy before October 31st. The goal is to support student mental health and reduce classroom distractions. Astoria Superintendent Craig Hoppus says the new restrictions will hit high school students the hardest. He will ask them to follow the new law, but
when they're in unstructured time, like outside in the parking lot or in the lunchroom, I told administrators, I don't want you going around looking for kids on phones. If they have their phone out, then tell them to put it away. But I don't want it to be a power struggle with kids over their phones on unstructured times. And I said this at the board meeting the other night, and I don't want administrators like policing phones. You know, we're going to, if they're out, we're going to do the right thing and ask them to put it away. But that's it.
Astoria already had a similar, though slightly less restrictive, policy in place before the governor's executive order. Hoppus considered the homegrown policy a success. He says he wishes districts had been allowed more flexibility by the state to pursue their own individual policies, a sentiment he knows other superintendents across Oregon share. A new study from Oregon State University shows the Cascadia earthquake, known as the Big One, could trigger quakes across the West Coast, including the San Andreas Fault Zone in California. According to the study, the two fault systems may be synchronized. That means earthquakes on one fault could trigger seismic activity on the other. Chris Goldfinger is a marine geologist at OSU and lead author of the study. He says if a Cascadia quake were to hit, it could serve as a warning for those living near the San Andreas Fault.
If you're in San Francisco or in the Bay Area, somewhere in Northern California, and a Cascadia earthquake starts, that essentially could serve as a warning that could be minutes, hours, days, something like that, for a San Andreas earthquake.
Goldfinger and his team of researchers analyzed deep sea sediment cores from more than 3,000 years ago. They compared the cores from both fault systems and found similarities. However, if you are on Washington's Long Beach Peninsula this morning and you hear sirens start to wail, don't panic. At 10:16 a.m., Pacific County, along with Clatsop and Tillamook counties in Oregon, will be participating in the Great Shakeout, an earthquake drill. People in participating communities are encouraged to practice the simple safety steps of drop, cover, and hold to be ready for an earthquake. Pacific County will be involved in testing Washington's network of all-hazard alert broadcast sirens. The wailing sound will be followed by a message in English and Spanish, letting people know that it is only a test, with instructions to test your evacuation route. Clatsop County emergency managers are using the drill as an opportunity to test the emergency notification system, Clatsop Alerts, to ensure residents can receive those alerts and also confirm that they've received them. If you've subscribed to Clatsop Alerts, you'll receive a simulated earthquake alert by text, email, or phone. When you get the message, the county asks that you take a moment to confirm it. You're listening to KMUN News, produced by the KMUN News team. That includes host and producer Skylar Butenshin, intern Sylvia Thorpe, and me, KMUN News Director Katie Frankowitz. To reach out with comments or feedback, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. That's it for us this week. We'll see you on Monday.